Well, good morning. Thank you. Yeah, I'm an old man now. I get it. 40 looks good. I'm still a little ways away from that. Thank the Lord. No offense if anyone's over 40. Love you. God is good. And all the time. Well, Christmas is over. Anybody excited about that? Quick show of hands, whose decorations are already down? I knew there'd be several. I knew it. Y'all are terrible. You got to keep the Christmas cheer. You know, we're in that weird time of the year where Christmas is over, we're heading into the new year, and then there's like this void of nothing. Where every season is like, there's just this lull moment in life where there's not a lot to look forward to, there's not a lot going on, and it's like the Christmas blues, if you would. The season is over, and now we're going into a new season of the new year. And a lot of people get really excited about the new year. I do not. The new year to me is just another day. Amen. There you go. But some people get like, elated about the new year. They make these resolutions. They go crazy. They have this big party. And you would think, my birthday being on New Year's Eve, that it'd be awesome. And I'm like, it's just another day in the life of a follower of Jesus. Like, it's not about me. Like, even the birthday, thank you too much. Love you. But it's about Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here to do and to gather for. So most of us are still trying to recap our lives and reorganize the chaos of Christmas. Anybody else's house looks like a bomb went off? Our house looks like a bomb of Christmas exploded, and not even like the good way. Like just like the just everything, empty boxes, the tissue paper, like it's just like all over the place. Like Christmas threw up in our house is what it looks like. Nobody else looks like that. Like, come on. Okay, babe, we got some cleaning to do. Because ours looks terrible. Or you've got those that are begrudgingly going back to work. Anybody here was dreading going back to work? Nobody? Wow, it's going to be that kind of morning. Okay. Some of us were begrudgingly going back to work. I was not. I enjoy what I do. And how many of us are already dreaming about summer? You know winter's coming. Because it just officially became winter just a week ago. And now, you know the dreaded winter is coming. So you're already like in La La Land thinking about the swimming pool, the beach, vacation Bible school. That's what my wife's doing. So it's just that part of the year. But then we make these resolutions. And resolutions that I've learned, maybe you're all for them, maybe you're not. I am not. I'll be forthfront. Because what I've learned about resolutions is they typically leave you frustrated and often feel in like regretful and shameful. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to orientate my life around something that's going to position me in a posture that's going to make me feel hurtful or shameful or full of regret or frustration that I wasn't able to fulfill something. I've already got enough of that in my life that I don't need to add any more by saying, hey, I wish I could lose this. I wish I could do that. Because how great would it be if all we had to do was just say, I wish 50 pounds would fly off and then boom, it's gone. Like that's the kind of resolution I could get behind, but it doesn't work that way. Right? Like there's some work that has to be put into it to get those results that you want. And here's the thing. The Christian faith is the same way. We'll make resolutions where I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to increase my giving. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to love more. I'm going to do certain things with these spiritual disciplines that we have. And yet, we throw them out there like they're just a wish. And a hope. This is going to happen. And then we just back off like, oh yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be a good year. I'm going to be way more spiritual. You're going to look at me and be like, that dude is holy. And yet, we don't want to put any work into it. Anybody like that? I'm like that. I'll be the first one. I often say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say, and I'm going to act. And then what happens is I am a no-show. I fall right back into my old routines, my old habits, my old ways before the second week of January. And here's the thing, I love sweet tea. And I've said this before, sweet tea is my go-go juice. Like, it's what I like to drink. And I'm going to try to not go on sweet tea, but here's the thing, I know me. I know me. I ain't going to make it. So my wife is going to keep me accountable. And as we start this new year, surround yourself with people that will look at you and be like, dude, put it down. Hey, you know where you're at right now. Don't do it. You know those, you know that, No boo-boo. Okay. I'm trying to wake you up. Okay, you with me? God is good? All the time. So I heard this quote the other day, and we're starting a new series to kick off the new year called Rhythms. And rhythms, to me, is the flow of life. It's what you get into doing. And how many of us have always said, I just can't wait for the new year to get a new rhythm? Like, when school starts back up, parents are like, I just can't wait for the rhythm of life to get back to what it used to be what it was. Because we know summer break can be chaos. Winter break can create, you know, havoc. And we just say, I can't wait for things to get back into the rhythm. Well, here we are in the new year, and we're starting a new series called Rhythm. Because I want us to establish and maintain healthy rhythms for Christ-following community. Okay, we are a community of Jesus people. Amen. We are Jesus people, Jesus forward. Jesus is our mission statement. He is our life source. He is everything, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is who we declare, proclaim, worship, adore, do everything for, surrender, obey, and just absolutely kneel down to is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we declare that's who we are. That's what this church is about. We're about Jesus and what he came to do and what he did on the cross. We're about what the Bible declares, his faithfulness, his promises, and his goodness, and what he's going to do towards the end times and what we kind of live in that in between. So with us being that kind of church and that kind of people, we must, and I say must strongly, establish healthy rhythms that produce godly fruit. We have to. It's not an option. It's not a resolution that you just wish for, that you throw in and say, hey, I'm hoping this happens, but we'll see. No, it's one of those things that we say it, we declare it, we're going to do it. Ezra was a perfect model of that, where he studied the law. He said, I'm going to be a teacher of it. So what he did, he studied it, he did it, and then he taught it. Like, what a beautiful role model we have through Scripture to back up the rhythms of our life. Now, I heard this quote, and it kind of really establishes a good baseline for our lives. And it says, your life right now represents everything that you've made a priority. Now sit on that for a minute. If you think about your life and what is surrounding it, whether it's your stuff, whether it's your family, whether it's your career, whether it's your bank, whatever it may be, that is what you've prioritized in life. I grew up really poor, and I talk about this often. I grew up really poor. Like, I mean, we were dirt poor. Like, poor. Like, bologna sandwiches every day kind of poor. And, like, what we did, like, I told my wife as soon as we got married, there's two things that I want. I want a nice house. I grew up in a trailer. It was run down. The first trailer we lived in was burnt. Like, half of it was burnt, and we lived in, like, we were poor, I'm telling you. And I told her, I want a nice house. I want a house, a structure, brick walls. Like, I want it to be a house, you know? And I said, I want a nice house. And I want a nice car. My first car was $300. We bought it at an auction. We had to take the back seat out and cut a hole in the body to get to the fuel tank to fix it before it would even run. So I told my wife, hey, these are my priorities coming into this marriage. This is what I want first and foremost. Is I want a nice house and I want a nice car. And guess what we did? We got a nice house and we got a nice car, and it didn't mean jack squat to me. It did nothing to add value into my life because it wasn't a priority that I really needed to have. What it did was create debt and struggle and issues and financial, like, woes for many, many years. And maybe you're like that, where you're like, hey, my priorities have been so far off of what really matters that we're building our lives around those priorities instead of godly priorities. So your life right now represents everything that you've made a priority. But here's the best part. You can change it. You can change it. And that's what I do love about the new year. Is the new year gives people a motivation to do something different. To see an issue and then decide, hey, I don't like what is happening. I don't like what is going on. I don't like the structure in which we're living in. Let's do something about it. And that's where I want us to kind of live. And I want to ask these two questions. What is the evidence of your priorities right now? When you look at your life and you examine it, what is the evidence of your priorities? If you're a parent, is it raising little disciples? Is it just making sure that they go to college? Is it just working to get by? Is it working just to pay the bills? Is it working to, you know, give generously like the Bible says we ought to? Like, what is the priorities? Is it about gaining stuff? I know Temu can be dangerous for some of y'all. Is it about gaining and getting and buying and achieving? Like what is it that your priorities are set upon? And I would be honest and say that I think most of us have never even thought about it. We've never even thought about our life being orientated around our priorities on earth rather than focusing and fixating them on heavenly priorities. And I've said this before, and today's basically sermon is called Establishing Priorities. That's the baseline for what we got to do. So in rhythms, to create a new rhythm, you got to establish what matters most. What is most important to you is what will come. I've learned throughout life that motivation equals priority regardless of intention. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Motivation equals priority regardless of your intention. See, what you're motivated about, what gets you excited in the morning, what like grinds those gears to get you, you know, to jump up and do and go and serve and love and give your time, your energy, and your effort is what becomes the priority in your life. So if you're so fixated on getting by, paying your bills, making your bank account big, what's going to happen is that kingdom is going to become your priority, regardless if you say, I want to raise my kids to be little disciples. What's happening? If you're not focused and fixated on this being your motivation, this kingdom that you're trying to build over here will become your priority regardless of your intention. And too often, we don't understand the concept of the way this looks. And I like this thing I found. It says, there's no such thing as not enough time. There's only what you make a priority. You make the time for what you must have. And what we must have is what motivates us. I tell my wife often, we can afford whatever we want if we really wanted to. But it's not the motivation that becomes the priority of our life. It's making sure that we're raising godly kids. Our verse for today comes out of Colossians 3:17. And I want this verse to be what echoes throughout your year. To be what echoes throughout your prayer life this week, this month. To be what is driving you as a disciple, a Jesus person living in a secular world. And it says in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything. I mean absolutely everything in word or deed unto the Lord. And then he says, and give thanks to God through him. How many of us go through life begrudging the task that we have to do? Like that laundry mountain that you keep putting off and keep putting off and keep putting off. What if you did that unto the Lord, praising and giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ for the laundry mountain? Like what a weird concept it is, but that is what the scriptures tell us to do. In whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of God. Of the Lord Jesus. How many of you rightfully right now would say that everything you do or say is in the name of Jesus? That's convicting, right? Because that right there alone, that sentence changes and must change your priorities and your motivation. That simple sentence right there, that in whatever you do, in word and deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. So that changes the shows you watch. That changes what you listen to. That changes what your morning routine looks like. That changes the way you love and serve your family. That changes the way you treat your neighbor. That changes the way you spend your money. That changes everything when you frame it up in making sure that you are doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's in word or deed. Meaning, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you say you're going to do it, follow it up. Don't be wishing on a resolution. Create a rhythm. Create a healthy boundary for you to operate and be in. I like the way John 15:5 says, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So here's your first rhythm. If you're a note taker, write this down. Your first rhythm is the rhythm of abiding. The rhythm of abiding. How many of you have ever started your year out abiding? Now maybe you've abided in that diet. You've abided in your car. You've abided in building your new house or fill in the blank. We've abided in lots of things, but have you ever started your year out abiding in Jesus? Anchoring your soul into Him in everything you do. Not just when you come to church. Not just when you're around those people. Not whenever you see somebody out and about that goes to your church or knows your... Even the dark side of your life. And let's be honest, we're all human. We all have a side of us that we don't want anybody else to see, right? Are we honest today? There is a side of us that we don't want people to see. And here's the challenge, is the scriptures say, even in those, even in the dark side, even in the darkness that you would be dreadful if anybody found out about, do it unto the Lord, which would frame and change the things that you do. It's the rhythm of abiding. If we start out understanding that we are part of something, that we are not an individual, we are not a solo doing this in life, a lone soldier trying to just get by, that we are attached to the vine. Anybody ever did a garden before? What happens when the fruit falls off the vine? Thank you, it dies. It withers up and just right? You can't judge me today. You can't do it, I promise you. God will judge you back. He loves me. But when the fruit is removed from the vine, it is useless. But when we're attached and we are abiding, we are near that vine, what happens? It grows. It gets healthy. It strives. It strengthens. So abiding, the rhythm of abiding, abiding in Christ is the mark of a true believer. It is such a beautiful aspiration for all of Jesus' followers to strive for, to attain, and immediately implement. Now, maybe you're here today, and I've said this before, maybe you feel like you're far from God. The invitation is God is always right there with you. He is near to you. With open arms, you can always come back to Him. You can always return. You can always just cling to Him, even whenever things are going well, and even more so when things are going desperately wrong. You can cling to Him. You abide in Him. The definition of abide is simply to accept or act in accordance with. So what are you abiding in today? I mean, seriously, Christian life is about reflecting daily on the habits, the rhythms, the routines that you have in place. What are you abiding in? I'll be honest, I just got a notification on my phone that said I have 7 hours of watch time this last week, a day. Now, I'm not watching my phone for 7 hours. That's awful. I listen to stuff and I put it down and it's on. But like a lot of us, especially the younger generation, would say we abide to our phones. We abide to our devices. We abide to our gaming systems. We abide to this world. And yet, here we are called to abide in who? Who? Amen. I need y'all to wake up. So as Christians, I don't know if you know this. I was reminded of this yesterday at men's breakfast. We are in a war. As Christians, you are in a war. Always in a war. And not necessarily against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers that are against us. That Satan knows. See, he doesn't have any power over us. And that's the mistake that we often think as Christians, that he has so much control and power over us. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do nothing. You willfully went. You willfully did. Here's the issue. The devil likes to sow seeds that make you think and tempt you into believing that it is not true what God says. It is not true what you believe. It is not true what God has established in the framework of who He is and what He's done for us, that it's not true. Because we drift. And maybe you're here and you're like, I've drifted a lot. I often use the illustration as the trajectory up and to the right. as Christians, we should be going up and to the right, maturing and getting closer to the goal. And the goal is a relationship with Jesus Christ for eternity, to one day be with the Father from glory to glory. Amen? When we frame it up that heaven is the goal, we're just getting to a destination. The destination doesn't matter. You can go anywhere with the Father, and it will be an amazing place. But we've got to make sure that we're moving up and to the right as we abide in Christ. And abiding is difficult. But Jesus modeled it. Abiding means having rhythms where you go away, and you'll rest, and you'll pray, and you get the fullness. You start kind of just leaning onto the scriptures. You lean onto Jesus for the wisdom, the guidance, the discernment, the nutrition that you need for stability to live in this life. Have you ever gone through a day where it just completely drained you? Like where you were just wiped at the end of it? I guarantee, okay, I shouldn't say I guarantee. I don't want to say certain things because I don't want it to come up. How do I phrase that? Yeah, what she said. That you didn't abide in Jesus much that day. That you let the world pull you away from the vine. Don't judge me. I see you people looking at me. When we are not abiding near the vine, we will succumb to many evil things. So it's the rhythm of abiding. John 15:7-11 says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as you have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." The rhythm of abiding is obedience. The rhythm of abiding is obedience. It's a spiritual discipline of drawing near every day. Abiding is an active activity, not a passive one. You can't wish it to be. You've got to make it be. If you want it to be a priority to abide near Christ, in Christ, through Christ, you've got to put in rhythms. Abiding is a discipline. It's not legalism. So here's the thing. A lot of us will be like, well, that's just another rule we got to do. That's another thing that we've got to add to the list. And if you're like me, we don't need any more things added to our list. But here's the thing. Rhythms, not resolutions, become a lifestyle. You truly, when you establish a rhythm, especially a healthy one, it becomes who you are. And especially the ones that are full of spiritual discipline. It becomes so natural. It's because we were created to follow it. We were created to go to the Creator, not live in the creation. It is a discipline. It means it doesn't happen by accident. You can't just walk into a room and, hey, yeah, I'm abiding, this is great. No, you have to make it happen. Provide time, provide space, provide focus. And abiding is about delight, not demand. See, here's the other part. We feel like we have to do this. Which you have to do this. But when it becomes something we have to do, we start begrudging it. We start getting resentment. We start getting bitter. And we start getting angry during that time instead of allowing it to transform us and shape us and form us into the image of Christ. We should delight in being near Christ. I mean, you should delight at being, I mean, there's nothing, and I mean, there's not a moment that is almost better than seeing a person come to know Jesus for that first time, and then being completely set free because they were lost, and now they found the light. Have you ever been to like a Christian concert where everyone is just so eager to be there? WBVN in town, they put on a lot of concerts, And I used to get mad. I used to get so mad because I didn't understand a lot of stuff early on because I was naive and young and prideful. And I would go to these concerts and I would see these people like just pouring their heart out worshiping. I mean, like different denominations. I mean, they're just worshiping Jesus. And then I would go to church the next day and I'd see people just not even singing, not even acting like they're glad to be here, like their mama forced them 50 years ago, dragging them through the snow to get to the building, and now they're still angry about it. No, church, we should delight in being near Jesus. Why are we not? Church, get excited to be in the presence of the Lord. Get excited to serve Him. Like, oh my gosh, and it says that people will know us as we abide in His love and keep His commands and show the world the true light that has come. Abide in Him. It is a delight. It should bring excitement. And then Jesus says, and my joy will be made complete when you do this. Woo! Abide in Him. I am pleading with you this year. I'm begging you if you would. Church, we have to abide in Him. Not because He needs it, but because you need it. Because we've got to get back to the vine. We've got to get back to the source. It's the rhythm of abiding. I like the way Louis Giglio puts it. Very simple, very profound. He says, if God's not in it, I don't want it. What a declaration for some of us the way we should live this year. If God's not in it, I don't want any of it. Now maybe you should be saying that today. Maybe you have said that today. If you haven't, maybe you should. And A.W. Tozer adds, if I am to wholly follow the Lord, Jesus Christ, I must forsake everything. That's not a fill in the blank. That literally encompasses every single thing. Or that is a fill in the blank. Encompasses every single thing in your life that is contrary to Him. Forsake it. Everything. I want this church to be a church that abides in Christ. Is that too much? Is that too much to ask? Man, here's the thing. Challenge me to do it too. Please. Because I see a lot of eyeballs pointing at me, and guess what? That's convicting. I've got eyeballs at home that point at me, and it's convicting. We have to become a people that abide in Christ. That just wholeheartedly forsake everything that is away from Him. And here's how we do it, a practical way. We're going to learn a lot of rhythms, and it's going to seem like a lot over the next 4 weeks, but I promise you, it's not. It becomes a lifestyle. So how do we practically abide in Christ? By establishing routines and rhythms immediately. And there's three that I want you to work on this week. First one is a daily rhythm. Okay, last year at this time, I would fairly new, and I challenged you guys to do the first 15. Anybody remember the first 15? Hey, some of y'all listen, yay. The first 15 was you start your first 15 minutes of your day in prayer, worship, and scripture, 5 minutes in each. That's one worship song, that's a passage of scripture, even a book if you're, you know, lofty. Or in 5 minutes in prayer. And I know 5 minutes in prayer can be challenging because we're like, thank you, God, love you, talk to you later. Like, it can be, but it's a discipline. Disciplines are not meant to be easy. They're meant to build you and strengthen you, right? So a daily rhythm. So that would be maybe the first 15. And the way I frame this up as a daily rhythm is to allow God's word to saturate your home. Allow God's word to saturate your life. Allow God's word to saturate your relationships. So whether that's the first 15, whether that's a devotional that you do, whether that's a Bible reading plan. If you're techie, you can get the Bible reading, the YouVersion app, and in that app you can create groups where you and your buddies, you and your friends, your girl, what you can do is you can get on there and you can read the scriptures together and then comment and text and call about that one piece of scripture, and it is a accountability that is set up to get people to read together. Or whether it's worship. Allow God's word to saturate your home. Have you ever worshiped through the scriptures? It is amazing. It is amazing what is written about God's glory. The second rhythm I want you to work on is a weekly rhythm. These are simple. A daily rhythm, a weekly rhythm. The weekly rhythm is do life with other believers and exemplify the grace of God. This is that community part where we gather together for corporate worship, whether it's a small group, whether it's serving an event within the church or out of the church, serving the community, or even so much as being generous. You'd be surprised what generosity can do. So daily rhythm, weekly rhythm, do you know what's next? I was hoping you'd say monthly, but it's incorrect. A prayer rhythm. Gotcha. Okay, I'm trying. A prayer rhythm. So you have a daily rhythm that you do every day. You have a weekly rhythm that you do once or twice a week to get in that habit of being the church, actually not just hearing it, but then doing it and being part of a community. And then here's the one that should happen all the time, without ceasing, is a prayer rhythm. And this one is associated typically with a daily rhythm. And we're like, well, I do that in the daily. No, I want this to be completely separate. Because how do we stay close to the Father? By prayer. It is literally our connection. And it's weird. I mean, anybody feel like prayer's weird? Like, it's okay. We're in church. You can be honest. Prayer's sometimes weird, right? Like I just said, hey, God, how's it going? Hope your day's good. Does that work? Like, it can be weird at times. But guess what? You're talking to your Father. It doesn't matter what you say. Jesus is interceding on your behalf, kind of this beautiful filter that happens, and he knows exactly what you need to say, even if you don't know how to say it. But you got to start. You've got to put the rhythm into doing it. I love coming to church on Sunday mornings. We have a rhythm where a couple of us gather every Sunday morning to pray. We pray for you. We pray for me. We pray for the teachers and the nursery workers. We pray for the parking lot. We pray for the community. You're prayed up. But we're going to continue to do it because it's a rhythm we have that gives us a structure that we can talk with our Father and glean wisdom from him. It is a spiritual discipline. And then Oswald Chambers says, we can all see God in exceptional. There you go. We can all see God in exceptional things, but it requires the growth of spiritual discipline to see God in every detail. We can see God when he moves a mountain, when he heals a baby in our church. We can see him and we praise him and we give him all the glory that is absolutely due. We can see it, we praise him for it, but what about whenever we don't see everything? A rhythm of spiritual discipline, of abiding, allows us to draw near to see every little detail that you wouldn't ever be broadcasted all over. But we got to abide. So we're going to pause the sermon. We're going to stop the sermon, actually. To end 2023, we're going to get uncomfortable. You okay with that? You okay with that? I got to kind of have consent. I'm just kidding. I don't. I got him. We're going to have a prayer service right now. And I've got four topics that I want us to pray through. And I'm going to give us about a minute and a half each one. I'm going to invite Johnny up. Johnny's going to be up here. If you need prayer immediately, if you're like, hey, I need to pray with somebody, please pray with people around you if they're willing. But we will have part of our prayer team up here that will pray with you if you need it. But I want you to be diligent as the body, as Jesus people, as people that are going to abide in this new rhythm to pray during this time for specific things. The first one is alignment. There's no better way to start the year off besides prayer, but praying for alignment. And here's the thing, we're not praying for alignment to our football team or that the Cubs lose every game, which I'll be glad to see, but that we align to two things, the scripture and God's will. And those two never go against each other. Okay? So I'm going to kick off a timer. We'll pray for about a minute and a half, and then I will end with prayer, and then I'll kick off the next topic. Can we do that? Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to delight in your glory, to hide our lives away in your covering. Lord, allow us to be a people that declare so boldly who you are, to just be willing to shine our light. But Lord, before we can shine our light, we've got to get alignment. We've got to get near you. We've got to find you. We've got to rest upon you. We've got to build our lives upon your will and your way, knowing and trusting completely that it is good and it is right because you're so faithful to us. Faithful to the point that you sent your son Jesus to take our place on a cross. God, allow us to see things differently this year. Break our hearts for what breaks yours, to just see the change that your kingdom provides. Not full of condemnation or sparking war with comments or remarks, but declaring the righteousness of Christ. That is just declared over and over and over again in your scripture. God, allow us to do your will. This one's tough for us because we like to think that we know best. We like to think that we know the right path and the right decisions to make and how to be our own God, but truly, we know nothing. And that is humbling. But we know that you are our God. And that you love us, that you care for us, that you walk with us, and that you talk with us. How amazing is it that we get the opportunity to align our hearts, our minds, and our souls to you. God, allow us to be bold in that alignment. Allow us to not be afraid to speak the truth. Allow your will be done. Lord, we trust you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we align ourselves, let us be reminded of the authority of Scripture, the truth and the conviction that comes with it, and then the comfort and the wisdom that we gain from it. The second topic is guidance and provisions. I don't know about you, but 2023 brought some really difficult decisions for our family. It brought some difficult decisions for many members in this church. And I don't know what another topic that we need to pray for besides guidance and provision, because man, God is all we got. He's what we cling to. He's what we hold on to. Again, I said, he's what anchors our souls to Jesus. So today, let us pray for guidance, discernment, wisdom, and his provisions to carry it out, knowing that everything comes from the vine. Let's pray. God, as we humble ourselves before you, we declare that you are the source of life, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher, the Alpha, the Omega, from the beginning to the end. You know it all. You lack nothing. And you declare in the scriptures that you are a wonderful counselor. Beyond measure, you bring counsel. God, as 2024 rolls in, whether we're ready or not, allow us to seek your guidance. And we do so by abiding in your word, by reading it, studying it, teaching it, meditating on it, praying through it, worshiping it. God, we long to be near you. We don't know what's going to come, but you do. And if we stay true to your word, if we stay true to the vine, and we stay near to your heart, Lord, we know that you will guide us. You will bring us through whatever it is, because you are good and you are faithful. And you have proven it through your provisions time and time again, where you've showed up, where you've made a way when it didn't seem possible, when you declared something, and so it be. And Lord, here's our ask, that you do it again. And if you don't do it again, we will remain. We will abide in you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The third one gets a little bit more challenging for us. It's the gospel presentations. And here's the thing. It's a boldness that we would start proclaiming the gospel outside of these walls. My hope is that you hear it mentioned every time you are in some sort of gathering here at Christian Covenant Fellowship, but that we, as Jesus people, would take that gift we've been given and take it into the world. Take it into the darkness and show them that the great light has come. And his name is Jesus. And that he came and lived absolutely perfectly, something that we could never do or even strive to do. And he sacrificed his life to bear the wrath of God for all of sin, for all of humanity, one time on the cross. And then he rose victoriously, conquering the grave, proving that he is who he says he is, and he's coming again. So let us pray for gospel opportunities for this church, for our members, and for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of the gift that you gave us that we can share. That you gave us voices, you gave us ears to hear the brokenness of the people around us and then to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That you so love the world that you sent your Son for us. What a gift. What a delightful moment we have to wake up and hear that every day, that you moved first, that you chose us, and that you pursue us by sending your Son. Lord, and for us here in this room, it may be just echoing off the wall over and over again, the gospel message. And for us, we've grabbed it, we've held it, we know it, we've been transformed by it. But there are so many people that don't even know the name of Jesus. And your word says that every tongue will confess. So Lord, give us the boldness. Give us the opportunities. Give us just the willingness to go. To say, here I am, Lord, I will go. Send me. What a way to start the year. To preach the gospel. That is the Great Commission. So Lord, stir something in us that gives us the willingness and the availability to do so. And here's the thing, we don't have to actually go. We can make phone calls, send texts. We can do so many things. But just help us start. Help us have the opportunity to do it. So that way your name is declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. The last one is focus and dedication. If you're anything like me, I get distracted by everything. I'm like a squirrel. I see something and I'm like, ah. Allow this time to be a moment where you're pleading with God to remove certain distractions or elements in your life and give you the desire to be dedicated to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for looking at us and not being full of just complete rage, but looking at us like sheep without a shepherd, lost and broken. Lord, during this new season, this new year, allow our focus to be fixated on you. And I know that's just a simple statement, but Lord, there's something that you can do to stir in us this just wholesome desire to pursue you, to long for you, to be near to you. Lord, allow us to have the focus that it takes to abide. We know who we are in our human nature. We are easily distracted, easily pulled 15 different ways all the time. God, allow us to have dedicated focus time so we can learn more of your character, learn more of your traits and your goodness. Lord, and allow us to be a dedicated people. to not only hear it, the word, but to do it, to carry out the mission that you've came and fulfilled, to help our brothers when in need, to love our community without condemnation, to show grace but preach the truth, to establish a bridge so people can see the true King and hear the message of repentance, that judgment is coming whether we like it or not. But you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we can rest upon that because you gave us Jesus, our atonement. And you sanctify us, and one day we'll be glorified. We thank you. We love you. Be with us. In Jesus' name.